Amen. Well, we are studying the Psalms of Ascent on Sunday mornings. Stepping stones to God's heart, we're calling them. There's 15 of them, and together there, each one is like another stepping stone that just brings us closer to God's heart and His love for us as we work through them. We're in Psalm 123 this morning, so if you can turn there and be ready for that, it's on page 613 in your pew Bibles. Last week, we learned that there's something interesting about these psalms, and you can actually take all 15 psalms, and you can break them into five groups of three. And each of those three psalms follows a common pattern. And so far, we've looked at the first three, Psalm 120, 121, 122, and we saw that Psalm 120, the theme was trouble. In Psalm 121, the theme was trust. And then Psalm 122, there was victory, there was triumph as we moved into that psalm. And well, guess what? We finished the first sequence, we're starting the second sequence. That means we're back in trouble again. We're going back to this psalm of trouble. You know, and that feels weird, doesn't it? Last week we reached Jerusalem and there was triumph, there was joy. We're gathering with God's people for worship. And this week, as you'll see in just a moment, we're back to mocking and scorn and contempt. And you go, well, why do we do that? Aren't these psalms of ascent? Aren't we supposed to just keep on going up? Why do we take a step backwards? Well, it's because it's that way in life, isn't it? We wish it was all the way up all the time, but sometimes it's three steps forward, one step back. And so, yes, we're working our way up, but we take a little, you know, a couple stumbles along the way. In Psalm 123, it does take a step backwards from where we were last week, but there's still progress overall. For example, in Psalm 120, our first psalm of trouble, the psalmist was all alone, and he was surrounded by ungodly people. And he was just saying, God, you know, this has been too long. It's too long. But now in Psalm 123, yes, we're going to talk about suffering and persecution, but now he is with God's people. You'll see the psalm is in the plural. And so he's no longer alone. There's progress there. Psalm 121 said, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? The psalmist lifts his eyes to the hills. But now in this psalm, you see, I lift my eyes to the Lord. He skips the mountains, goes right to God. There's progress. We're moving upward. Last week, Psalm 122, we were in Jerusalem. We visited the thrones of the house of David. In today's psalm, we're going to see a different throne. Not the thrones in Jerusalem, but the throne in heaven. And so you can see, yes, we're taking a step backward. We're going back through a psalm of trouble. But there's still progress. We're making our way upward. Psalm 123 is a very brief, it's a short psalm. It's only four verses, but still very powerful. One thing it teaches us is that our prayers do not always have to be long, but simply sincere, that God does not look at the length of our prayers so much as the sincerity of our hearts. But the main thing we want to learn from the psalm this morning is about God and His mercy, and that we should be looking to the Lord for mercy. And I don't know what your view of God is this morning, but let me assure you this morning, our God is a loving God, He is a kind God, He is our merciful Heavenly Father. He is a merciful God, and He gives mercy freely to those who seek it from Him. So in Psalm 123, will you please stand with me now for the reading of God's holy word. Psalm 123, a song of ascents. I lift up my eyes to you whose throne is in heaven. As the eyes of slaves look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maid look to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God till He shows us His mercy. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Have mercy on us. For we have endured much contempt. We have endured much ridicule from the proud, much contempt from the arrogant. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, I pray that you take this song, this cry of the psalmist's heart. Lord, make it the cry of our heart this morning. So we cry out to you for mercy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So our psalm this morning is a psalm about looking to God for mercy. Looking for mercy. And the whole theme of looking is introduced for us in verses 1 and 2 with the word eyes. I don't know if you noticed or not, but the word eyes shows up four times in those two verses. Our eyes, where are we looking? And then the theme of mercy is introduced right at the end of verse 2 and then shows up again in verses 3 and 4 three times. And so in Psalm 123, as we've already said, the psalmist is in trouble again. He's in trouble. He's being mocked. He's scorned by arrogant people who have no concern for God. And so what does he do? He looks to the Lord. He lifts up his eyes to the Lord, looking for mercy. Samuel Cox says about the psalm that it is a little gem cut with the most exquisite art, that few poems, inspired or uninspired, have been more admired or loved. It has the charm of unity. It limits itself to one thought, or rather expresses a single mood of the soul, the upward glance of a patient and hopeful faith. And I like that phrase, the upward glance of a patient and hopeful faith. And so this psalm, similar to Psalm 121, tells us that we need to look up and encourages us to look up to the Lord. You know, you tend to go in the direction wherever you're looking, right? And if you go through life looking down, guess what? You're not going to go very far, and you're going to bump into a lot of stuff, and you're going to stumble along the way. But when you're looking up, when you're looking to the Lord, then you are following in the direction of these psalms of ascent, which together form this upward motion to God and to his heart. Psalm 123 is a song for you to sing when you are at the end of your rope. Martin Luther called this psalm the deep sigh of a pained heart. And so when you are oppressed or persecuted, or when you don't know what to do, when you feel like you have had enough, Psalm 123 encourages you to look to the Lord and to cast yourself upon him and to put yourself in his hands and trust him to do what is best. It's a psalm that tells us to look to the Lord for mercy in your time of need. So how do you do that? Well, that's what our message is about this morning. How do you look to the Lord for mercy in your time of need? We're going to look at three ways that we do that. There's an outline in your bulletin if you'd like to take that out and follow along. But the three ways are this. First of all, you look to the Lord as the king on his throne. Then secondly, you look to the Lord as a servant looks to his master. And then thirdly, you look to the Lord as your merciful Savior. So let's begin now. First of all, look to the Lord as the king on his throne. Look at verse 1 with me now. The psalmist begins, I lift up my eyes to you whose throne is in heaven. And when you are in need, when you are in trouble, then you need to look to someone who can actually help you, right? And the psalmist here, he knows exactly where to look. He lifts up his eyes where? To the Lord, whose throne is in heaven. And that tells us that God has plenty of resources to help you in your time of need. Why? Because God is king. He's not only king, he's the king of heaven. He's on the throne, and God's heavenly throne speaks of his sovereignty, and it speaks of his majesty. And I want you to, first of all, consider God's sovereignty this morning. God is not merely your local councilman or your state representative. He's not your president. He's not any type of earthly king. Where is God's throne? His throne is in heaven. And that means that he is sovereign over everything, over all things. Psalm 115, verse 3 says this, our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him. He is sovereign. In the Lord's Prayer, we're also told what? To look to God in heaven, to lift our eyes heavenward. How did Jesus teach us to pray? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now, just as a sidetrack here, have you ever noticed how in the Lord's Prayer we pray in the plural? That we don't pray, my Father in heaven, give me today my daily bread. What do we pray? We pray, our Father in heaven, give us today our daily bread. Well, it's the same thing here in Psalm 123. And the psalmist begins in verse 1. He says, yes, I lift up my eyes, you know, to the Lord in heaven. But then he begins to pray in the plural. Our eyes look to the Lord our God. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Have mercy on us. In the Lord's Prayer in Psalm 123, together, they remind us that we are part of a community. That we don't simply ask God to help us, you know, to help me, but to help all of us. To help all of us together. And so when we look to the Lord as the king and his throne, that throne is a reminder. He who is on the throne is the one who can actually help us. He is sovereign over all things. And because he is king, because he is sovereign, because he is on his heavenly throne, we worship him. And we worship his majesty. We read in 1 Chronicles 29, I think your bulletin says it's 2 Chronicles, but it's 1 Chronicles 29. Praise be to you, O Lord, God from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are the ruler of all things. And so God is on his throne. That tells us that he is great above all things, that he is majestic in power and glory and honor. And we worship him because of his greatness and his majesty. Charles Spurgeon said about the psalm, he said, it's good to have someone to look up to. Well, how much better when that person is God in his majesty and on his throne? How do you look to the Lord for mercy in your life? First of all, you need to know who he is. You look to the Lord who is king on his throne. And then secondly, look to the Lord as a servant looks to his master. And we see this in verse 2 now. As the eyes of slaves look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maid look to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God till he shows us his mercy. And the picture here is of a servant with his master, or a servant girl with her mistress. And this is how you must approach God when you are looking to him for mercy. You not only look to him as the king on his throne, but you look to him as a servant would look to his or her master. This involves several things in your part. And the first thing it means is that you need to take a certain attitude in your life. You must take the attitude of a servant towards God. Think of young Samuel in the Bible. Samuel the prophet, when he was still young and God was first calling him. We read in 1 Samuel 3:10, the Lord came, stood there, called out his name, Samuel, Samuel. And what did Samuel respond? He said, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Samuel took the attitude of a servant towards God. Well, what does that mean to be a servant towards God? Well, we see several things right from verse 2 here in Psalm 123. First of all, it means that when you take the attitude of a servant towards God, that you are attentive to his will. You're attentive to his will. Look at the servant in Psalm 123. His eyes are on the master. Her eyes on her mistress. His eyes are trained in the master. He's looking for the slightest gesture. It's like maybe even just the tiniest wave of a finger that would indicate his will. It's what Derek Kidner calls in his commentary on this psalm, the trained watchfulness of the servant who is ready for the smallest gesture. And that's the way that we should be with God. We're watching. We're waiting. We're looking. We learned earlier from the Psalms of Ascent that God watches over us. And now we learn that we are to be watching God constantly. And your daily prayer and mine should be, Lord, what will you have me to do? How may I serve you today? Be attentive to his will. And then the second thing here is to wait patiently for his timing. And there's a small word in verse 2 there, but it's very important. It's the word until. Until. As the eyes of slaves look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maid look to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God until he shows us his mercy. And that word until indicates that there is a period of waiting before the sought-after help arrives. John Milton wrote in his famous poem, they also serve who only stand and wait. And a good servant, you know what? A good servant spends a lot of time just standing around waiting. That's hard for us, isn't it? We want to be active, right? We want answers to our prayers right now. But God knows the value of patience and waiting. Martin Luther, once again, in his commentary on this psalm, writes about God deferring his help and what we can learn from this. And I'll put the quote on the screen for you up here. He writes this. He says, for in that God defers his help, he does it not because he will not hear us, but rather to exercise and stir up our faith and to teach us that the ways whereby he can and does deliver us are so manifold and so miraculous that we are never able to conceive them. Therefore, let us think that the thing which we ask is not denied, but deferred, and assure ourselves that we are not neglected because of this delay. We're taking the attitude of a servant towards God. First of all, we need to be attentive to his will. And then we need to be patiently waiting for his timing. But then there's a third part, and that is to be responsive to his commands. First, the servant watches, and then he waits in order that he or she may do what their master commands. Remember, when it comes to you and God, you're the servant, he is the master. Don't ever get it in reverse, okay? Sometimes we get that confused. He's the master, we are the servant, watching, waiting, ready to do his will. Some people refuse to take this attitude of a servant towards God because they think it's going to constrict them in some way. They don't want to give up their freedom. They don't want to give up their control. But the great paradox or irony here is this, that you will only find true freedom in life when you become a servant of Jesus Christ. It's when you become Christ's servant that you will find the freedom that you've been longing for. So how do you look to the Lord now? As a servant looks to his master, we've seen one way is you take the attitude of a servant towards God. But there's a couple other things here as well. Number two, you need to know that you are dependent on God for all things. Because that's what the servant in Psalm 123 is doing. This servant is completely dependent on the master. The servant is in the master's hands. The master controls the servant's fate. The servant is dependent on the master, and so he looks to the master to meet his needs. John Perrone describes the eye of the servant here as the eye which waits and hopes and is patient, looking only to him and none other for help. We look to God because he is the one who can help us. You see, we also are dependent on God for everything. All of creation is dependent on God and looks to him. Just that the rest of creation is smart enough to actually do that. Sometimes we forget. We read in Psalm 104, the earth is full of your creatures. And what do? These all look to you to give them their food at the proper time. That's what it means when it says the servant looks to the hand of the master, the open hand, ready to provide and supply. They look to you to give them their food. And when you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. That's the way we look to God as a servant. He's the master of the open hand, and we look to his hand to provide. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12, we find a wonderful prayer. It's a prayer of King Jehoshaphat when he was under the gun. He was facing this enormous army, three separate nations banding together to come against him and to come against Jerusalem. It was a triple threat. He knew that he didn't have a chance on his own, so what did he do? He prayed. He prayed to the Lord, "Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you." This is the servant whose eyes are on the master, completely dependent on the master. We may not always like to admit it, but we are completely dependent on God for all things. How many of you just took a breath? Most of you, right? You know where that came from? God gave that to you. Oops, you just took another one. You are completely dependent upon every single breath that you take. We need to learn to look to the Lord. And so many times we're in those desperate situations, we don't know what to do. Oh, our God, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. We're looking to the Lord as a servant looks to the master. And then thirdly, know that God will help you in your time of need. The master here in Psalm 123, he's a good master. It's not one of the bad masters. This is a good master. The servant's looking to him, knowing that the master will take care of him. And when we look to God, we know that God will take care of us. Once again, Psalm 145, another great verse. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. Or if we turn to the New Testament, we have the wonderful promise in Philippians 4:19. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ. If you're a believer this morning, if your faith is in Christ, if you are in relationship with God, you do not need to be afraid. God will be there to help you. And so look for it. Look for it. That's what the servant's doing. Psalm 123, he's looking to the master's hand. Look for God's intervention in your life. Expect it. Look, wait, pray. Keep looking, keep waiting, keep praying, because God will help you in your time of need. That's what it means to look to the Lord as a servant looks to his master. So we look to the Lord as king on his throne. We look to the Lord as a servant would look to his master. And then finally, number three, look to the Lord as your merciful Savior. Now we're in verses 3 and 4 of Psalm 123. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Have mercy on us, for we have endured much contempt. We have endured much ridicule from the proud, much contempt from the arrogant. Notice he cries out for twice, have mercy on us, have mercy on us. He's desperate here. He's being mocked, he's being persecuted for his faith. And in his desperation, he cries out to the Lord for mercy and for all of God's people. And when you are in a desperate situation, please know that you need to look to the Lord as your merciful Savior. And there are a number of things the Bible teaches us about God in this regard. First of all, know that the Lord sees your suffering. Sometimes we doubt that, but he does. The Lord sees your suffering. Exodus 3:7, we read this about the Israelites. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. The Israelites have been slaves in Egypt for 400 years, and I'm sure a lot of them have given up. I'm sure a lot of them thought, I don't think God sees us anymore. I don't think God's paying attention. I don't think God knows what's going on down here. I think God has maybe forgotten us. But none of that was true. God hadn't forgotten about them. God saw their suffering, and he sees your suffering too. But God not only sees your suffering, God cares about your suffering. Because that's what God said to Moses at the end of that verse, right? I've seen the misery of my people, and I am concerned about their suffering. And if you have ever doubted that God cares about your suffering, if you've ever wondered, well, God's way up there. He's on his throne in heaven. What does he know about what it's like to be down here in the dust and the dirt of planet Earth? What does he know about being tempted and beaten up and struggling and suffering? How can God know all of that? He's up in heaven. If you ever doubt that God cares about your suffering, all you need to do is look at God's Son, Jesus Christ, who did come down from his throne in heaven and who did enter the dust and dirt of planet Earth. Hebrews 2:18 says this about Jesus, because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. And then later on in Hebrews 4, we read these verses, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, and yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. God is on his throne in heaven. Now we learn that throne is a throne of grace. We approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy. That's what we're looking for. Have mercy on us. Have mercy on us, O Lord, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Because Jesus suffered when he was tempted, he's able to help us when we are tempted. Because Jesus can sympathize with us in our weaknesses, we may approach God's throne of grace with confidence, confident that we will receive the mercy that we need in our time of need. God sees your suffering. God cares about your suffering. And then thirdly, God knows your limits. If we go back to Psalm 123, you'll notice that word endured shows up twice in Psalm 123. We've endured contempt. We've endured ridicule. The word that is translated endured there is a word that literally means I've had enough. Literally means I've had more than enough. You ever felt that way? Ever felt like you have had enough that you cannot take anymore? That's exactly what the psalmist is feeling and expressing here. When you've had enough, when you've had more than enough, when you just can't take any more, how comforting it is to know that God knows your limits. Psalm 103, verses 13 and 14 tells us, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so you can stand up under it. People say, well, God will never give me more than I can handle. Well, sometimes he does give you more than you can handle. But he never gives you more than he can handle. And when you are looking to him for mercy, you will have all of the strength and all of the resources you need to handle whatever God allows to come your way. God sees your suffering. God cares about your suffering. God knows your limits. And then finally, God opposes the proud. Remember, we ran into the proud and the arrogant here, so we need to deal with them. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So who are these proud and these arrogant in Psalm 123? Well, the proud are the complacent. These are the ones who are totally at ease. They're not suffering. like other people, and so they feel restful and secure. Nothing bad will ever happen to me. That's pride. That's the proud. And the arrogant are those who are proudly looking down on everybody else who's suffering. I don't know what you did that you're suffering so bad, but hey, my life is just fine. And what does God say about the arrogant and the proud who think that way? God says in Isaiah 13:11, I will punish the world for its evil, the wicked for their sins. I will put an end to the arrogance of the haughty, and I will humble the pride of the ruthless. You see, the arrogant and the proud do not receive God's mercy because they don't think they need God's mercy. And because they don't think they need God's mercy, they don't look to God for mercy. And because they don't look to God for mercy, they do not ask God for mercy. And because they do not ask, they do not receive. James 4:6 tells us, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So who are the humble? Well, the humble are those who are lifting their eyes up to the Lord, who are looking to the Lord for mercy, who are crying out in desperation, God, I need you. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Have mercy on us. And you know what? God gives mercy to those who look to him for mercy. He does it every time. Every time. And if you are a sinner this morning, and you are, then you need mercy. You need God's grace and forgiveness. You need like the tax collector that we read about in the Gospel of Luke, who cried out, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. You need mercy. God gives mercy to those who look to him for mercy. Too often we cry out for justice when really we should be crying out for mercy. Trust God, leave it in his hands. Look to the Lord as your merciful Savior. Psalm 123 is a beautiful psalm. It's short, just four verses. It's really the cry of a person who has nothing left to do but pray. When you've had enough, when you are at the end of your rope, don't despair, but look to the Lord. Don't try to take matters into your own hands, but look to the hand of your master, the open hand, which is ready to dispense mercy and all that you need to help you. Look to the Lord for mercy. Confess to God your complete dependence upon him for all things. Put your faith in Jesus, because when you approach God through Jesus, you may approach God's throne, his heavenly throne, with confidence. And you will receive mercy, and you will find grace to help you in your time of need. Let us pray. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Have mercy on us. For we are needy people, Lord. We need forgiveness for our sins. We need your strength for each day. We need help for the tasks that are before us. We need someone to rescue us from our troubles. Lord, we lift up our eyes to you whose throne is in heaven. We look to you as a servant looks to their master. We look to you as our merciful Savior. For your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. We need you. Have mercy on us, O Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.